listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
We're going to be talking about data and what data should you record as a sheep farmer and what is actually useful data, because obviously you could record a lot of data, but we want to talk about what is useful data. And to have that discussion, I've got Kate Phillip, a very well-known sheep consultant, to have that discussion as to see what data people should be keeping. So good afternoon, Kate. I hope you're well and the sun is shining with you this afternoon. So what most important data do you think sheep farmers should be recording in their system?
Hello, everybody. Nice to talk to you, Katie, today. Yeah, loads of things you could record, but I think a lot of people have fallen into the trap of recording loads of stuff and they're not really being able to use it. So I suppose I've got a few key things that I quite like to encourage people to look at. One of them would be ewe body weight, okay? I think that's an interesting thing to record, simply because you all know that you're a very big sheep, say an 80 or 90 kilo ewe compared to a 60 kilo ewe would take an awful lot more food to maintain it than a smaller ewe. So you've got to think about the efficiency of that sheep and what she can produce. And as the market only wants, let's say, up to 45 kilogram lambs, we don't need that 90 kilo ewe producing 255 kilo lambs. We actually just want the 45 kilo lamb. So if the 60 kilo ewe can do it, she is much more efficient than the 80 or 90 kilo ewe. So I think having a handle on ewe body weight is a really good thing to know, because you're trying to keep the optimum number of sheep on your farm. And it's important, I think, to be recording body weight at more, let's say, 2 or 3 times in the year. I think that's a valuable thing to do, because obviously, as you all know, condition score is going up and down as the production year goes by. But I think if we could have a sort of benchmark ewe weight at around about pre-tupping sometime, then that gives us a good start. And I have weighed ewes within flocks and had ranges of something like 75 to 110 kilos in the range of body weights within a flock. Now, that 110 kilo ewe was a really expensive ewe to keep. Very big sheep, very high maintenance costs. And we still only wanted to do 245 kilo lambs, don't we? So that's one thing I think is quite useful. And a ewe's ability to keep the body condition score on through the production cycle. So we don't want ewes that are shifting to body condition scores throughout the cycle. We want to try to keep that, maintain that body condition. And that means a ewe that's efficient in her utilising the food she's offered and not reducing body condition too far, making it expensive to put that condition back on pre-tupping. So that's perhaps one good area to think about, Katie, is ewe body weight.
And do you think, obviously, if those ewes that, I know sometimes people say, well, that ewe's worked hard and done her lambs well because she's lost quite a bit of condition, but actually, yes, she might have done her lambs well, but as you say, what's the cost of putting that condition back on to get her back round in the right condition before tupping again?
Absolutely. And I always think, what effect will have that large loss of condition have on the next production cycle? So it's not just about that season, it's what it does. And the work that's been done by AHDB with Leslie and Neris showing that large shifts in body condition do have a negative impact on the next production cycle. So looking for ewes that are good at keeping their condition but still working hard is the thing what we're looking for, isn't it, really?
And I guess also of when do you wean them and when's the optimum time to wean them to get that condition back on as well makes a big difference.
Absolutely. So they need at least 10 weeks of rest before they take the tup again. So that's all got to be factored into it. Leaving lambs on far too long is no good for you or for the lambs themselves. So yeah, so that's one area. Yeah, I'm thinking of lamb growth rates as being another one, Katie.
Yep. And what do you think the optimum, what should lambs be doing per day off forage alone, off grass?
Well, I mean, we always have these benchmarks of somewhere around the 275 to 325 grams per day. And if we can have a target or a sort of benchmark around there and then be comparing the performance of all lambs against that benchmark, whichever the farmer chooses to use as his benchmark. But, you know, anything that's performing under that, we sort of need to know why. So mother might be lame, she might have mastitis, you know, it might be a triplet that isn't going to perform as well as a single, but having that data can really inform you. It also inform you about parasite control too. We're encouraging everybody not to use wormers as much as they used to and trying to perhaps may target it selective treatment. So lambs that are growing less than a certain rate per day would be treated, whilst the ones still growing well despite the worm challenge don't need worming. So that sort of thing's really useful from a growth rate perspective.
And I guess with EID it should be relatively simple, because as long as they're tagged at a young age and you've got the equipment to do so. But yeah, I guess with EID that should be a lot more simple than it ever used to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. It does rely on tag reading, of course it does, Katie, and having some sort of setup that makes that easy electronically. The other way of doing it might be just to mark, say, 50 lambs in a group and weigh those regularly and keep an eye on those, and you could have had some sort of marker on them. It's just a simple number on their side, so you at least come back and weigh the same animals each time. So even if you haven't got the EID set up, you can do something.
Yeah, and a little bit of data to know what the larger group's doing, I guess, is much better than nothing at all and just keep going as if you've got your head in the sand or in the dark.
Absolutely. And growth rate can tell you so much, can't it? I mentioned worms, but it could also tell you if you're short of some trace elements and lamb performance is under for some other reason. There might be some underlying reason, and perhaps that might be it. You're short of cobalt or something like that, and gives you a bit of an early warning before you actually, you know, see it physically. You might actually see it in growth rate first and then see it physically. So can give you an early warning.
And I guess some people might find that some fields perform better than others as well, for the ewes and for the lambs.
Absolutely. I've been doing a bit of work with some mineral auditing for farms lately, and it is interesting when you say, you know, farmers can tell you, well, lambs never do well on that field, or they always do well on that field. So you're absolutely right. There was a different makeup, trace elements or different species of grasses and herbs in there that do make it have an impact. And it's also interesting, I think, you know, if you have got a variety of different leys, be it red clover and perennial ryegrass versus herbal leys or old-fashioned permanent pasture, it's really good to see the differences in growth rate across those different swards to help convince you whether they're right for you or not.
And how much do you think farmers should be looking at things like scanning data and comparing that to what they actually sell?
That's a really fundamental one, Katie. That's whenever I meet a farmer for the first time, that's a really key question I ask. How many ewes are you putting the tub? What was the scanning percentage? And how many did you rear? And that tells you so much about that flock. They might scan really well, but not rear very many, so they've got high losses. Or they might scan badly, but rear most of them. And that tells you another set of information, really. So, yeah, and perhaps it tells you about the breeds, the selection of breeds. So you think, actually, and I was on a farm recently who had wonderful performance on the face of it, but was only rearing 125%. And when I looked at the breeds of ewes, he had a lot of terminal sire genetics within the ewes. And I think he would really benefit from bringing some maternal genetics into that flock to lift the scanning percentage. And then, you know, he had a very impressive carbon footprint on that farm. But we were talking about ways of reducing the carbon emissions from his flock. And I said, well, just rear a few more lambs. That would make a big difference to your carbon footprint. So that, yeah, I think that's a really good place to start on any farm, with that simple data that tells you about the productivity of that flock.
Yeah, I think lots of farmers discuss, oh, well, what was your scanning percentage? And was it this up or down from year to year? But there's a lot less, I think, that actually talk about the sale and what percentage did they lose, and you know, what did that actually mean to their system, and where were they dropping out?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit sobering recording all those lamb losses, Katie, and you and I have done it on other farms in the past, and it is a bit of a miserable operation if you got high losses. But it gives you something to really attack and think, how can I get better? Where am I falling down, and how can I reduce those losses? It's all to the good from a productivity and profitability perspective.
Yeah, and until you've got that data, that I used to do a tally chart on at Mum and Dad's, and when you've got that information, then you can drill it down with the vet and actually work out what the issue is and what different things do you want to put in place. Because if you change too much at once, you don't actually know what made the difference.
Absolutely.
But yeah, just trying to change and do a little tweak each year or each few months can actually make a real difference, can't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it could have been, you know, losses could be large in field, you know, post-lambing. And you do see some people who lose a lot of lambs, I don't know, to pneumonia or something. And just putting a vaccine in early can make a big difference to those losses. So, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And what about ewes and around winter forage? I mean, I know some people obviously keep the ewes outside all the time and keep them on grass or roots, etc. But for those that do bring them into a shed, what sort of data should they be looking at or analysis should they be looking at to make the most of the winter?
Well, as you know, I'm always very keen for anybody to get their forage analysed so that we know what we're working with. And a fundamental start would be to know how much you've got and then have that analysed so that we can actually work out an appropriate amount of supplement to balance that out properly. I'm not just saying it's always going to be 18% protein cake, but it could be something much simpler than that, just one supplement or other. But it's actually tying up with the quality of the forage the farmer's got available. And then you can work out how many singles, twins and triplets and estimate the amount of concentrates or other supplement you need to buy in. So I always think that's a really good thing to do, Katie.
And I guess as a bare minimum, a forage analysis, but would you recommend actually different fields to try and mark bales and do the different fields separately and different cuts as well?
What I would say is if there are definite different cuts or particularly different cuts, if there's say three batches of silage, you would definitely get all three batches analysed. You would not rely on one. And I'm always keen to say to people, don't get one handful from one bale, because that will never tell you what the whole 500 bales is like in quality. So yes, each batch of silage, some farmers wouldn't go down to the level of fields because they're not getting enough quantity from particular fields. But I think each cut should be analysed most definitely. So lots of savings. I mean, on a 1 megajoule, I just have this rule of thumb that 1 megajoule difference in energy level in silage would save about 10 kilograms of compound feed. So that's really worthwhile. And the analysis needn't cost you very much. You might have it done by your compound feed supplier and just make sure to work out a balanced diet from that analysis. Yeah.
Yes, that's really good information. And as you say, there's lots of people think of the outgoings of all that and that is going to cost me, but actually the savings are much greater than what the analysis is going to cost, and then at least those animals are getting what they need as well.
Exactly, Katie, exactly. There's another bit of the lambing time. We talked about lamb losses, but I often feel it would be nice, particularly for those rearing, producing their own replacements, is to keep information about lambing. So about lambing ease, so those ewes that are lambing with no difficulty don't need any help. So we'd really like to think we were keeping replacements from ewes that were born easily themselves, that their mums had no trouble giving birth to them, and that information on that ewe, valuable information like how many times was she lame or how long should she been alive? You know, longevity is a really important feature in any breeding female. The longer we can keep her in a flock and being productive, obviously you don't want them being unproductive, but that sort of thing, you know, is really valuable, I think, when you're selecting the next generation. So obviously good teeth, obviously good feet, and how long they're living, and tallying that up, if you've got all this data, with how fast their lambs grow as well. So I think that's, you know, in terms of selecting. And I remember a long time ago, I was at a conference, I think a sheep breeders round table, Katie, actually, and Joe Connington was speaking. And I remember her saying from some data she'd looked at, I think it was the Texels and black faces, but that ewe lambs born in a pair of twin ewe lambs were more productive than a ewe lamb that was born with a male sibling. So I thought that was fascinating. There must be something going on with the internal hormones from that male affecting the productivity of that female. But I thought that was really interesting. So if you were keeping, the most productive are likely to be the ones that are born as twin females, not with a male sibling. So
I wonder if that's linked to a bit like when you have twins with the cows.
Well, it could be, because you often get a free Martin, don't you?
Yeah.
Something
in that.
Yeah. So, but that's going a long way to record, you know, whether they're born with a male twin or whatever. But you could, you know, it shows the potential of data. But I know it's not for everybody. It can be one step too far for some people that.
And it's only worth keeping the data as well, I suppose, if people are going to actually use it and analyse it, because you can record a lot of data, but if you're just going to either keep it in the ERD machine or keep it on a scrap of paper that then gets put in the wash machine, it's not much use. So
absolutely. So you've got to sort of start small, I think, start carefully and keep what you think is going to be valuable and you can act on, and then move on to the detail if it fascinates you and you really engage with data. Because some people get quite obsessed by data. and spend hours and hours analysing what they've gathered, whereas others, like you say, probably just leave it in the handheld reader and then never get it out. So
yeah. That's great. Thanks, Kate. I think that's given us a great insight as to the key points that producers should be looking at. And obviously, we don't expect everybody to be recording everything. But, you know, some people may want to start having a look at their body weight. Some people start actually having a look at the body condition of the ewes. Others, if hopefully they've got the scanning percentage at the top of their or at the tip of the tongue from each of the last couple of years. But, you know, analysing that scanning data to the sale data, possibly lambing losses if people aren't looking at that. And then the forage, I think, was the final one, and looking at what their winter forage and then matching that to their rations. I think those were the key ones we've discussed this afternoon. And if everybody picks out one of those to look at for this next year, that would actually help them improve their system, hopefully, for next year's lambing.
Going Do you forward, not agree? Absolutely, because we're all trying to get more efficient, produce more lambs from less input. So I think if you keep the data, it'll help you get there.
That's great. And thank you very much for your time, Kate.
No problem.
Cheers. Bye.